So this morning, just speaking about adversity. And so looking at John 16:33, if you would turn your Bibles there, John 16:33, very one verse there. It says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Heavenly Father, we started off our time with you in Joshua, where you told him to be strong and courageous, and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, as we trudge through and as we navigate through adversity, how encouraging it is to know that you're right there with us. And I pray that you would be a part of this morning, and that you would guide my words. Give me strength to speak boldly. In your name I pray. Amen. When I say the word adversity, what comes to mind? How about hardship, danger, misfortune, difficulty, harsh conditions, hard times? I know that each of us have had to handle adversities at different levels, different scales. It doesn't matter what that level is. It could be something as simple as trying to pull that splinter out of your finger, or it could be as big or as challenging as trying to book tickets at the last minute to go travel and minister and be with a loved one because they're not feeling well, so that you could be there and love on them like only you can. It's a whole different story when those words become alive and a part of our lives. Hardship, danger, misfortune, those harsh and difficult situations, those hard times. And so this morning, I just want to touch on that just a little bit, just to remind myself, first of all, whatever you're going through, it's not necessarily because of sin. Sometimes adversity is associated with sin, right? Like, oh, you're in trouble because you messed up. That's why your life is the way it is, because you sin. I mean, we have examples of that in the Old Testament. You look at David, you know, him involved with that young lady, and then a married lady, and then responsible for that husband's death, right? I mean, look at Samson, you know, the great Nazarene. And let's not forget about Adam and Eve. Most of you know the story of Jonah, right? That lesson's being taught all the time in children's church and in Journey Kids, right? Jonah, he tried to run from God. He tried to run from God with disobedience. It put him in the belly of adversity. He was running from God, and next thing you know, he's in a well, in a whale. It was like a well, but... Does that honestly mean that when I am in trouble, I've sinned? No. We have a prime example when we look at Job, right? Job is a prime example. He didn't do anything. He was a perfect example. It says there right in the first chapter of Job that Father's seen Satan, like, hey, where have you been? Where have you come from? And he says, have you seen Job? I like Job. And excuse the vernacular, but Job, he's my boy. I like Job. And Satan's like, oh, you don't like Job because Job, he listens to you and you take care of him. You've always blessed him. He goes, okay, go ahead. Take a shot. Take a shot at my boy Job. Well, Job, he went through adversities. He lost his family, he lost his kids, he lost all of his camels and his livestock. And his wife even said, hey, why don't you just give up this whole God thing? Just give it up. And of course, we all know that Job didn't have the best of friends, right? His friends weren't the best. They didn't give him the best of advice. In Matthew 5:45, it says, he sends the rain and the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. Neither you nor I, just because we claim to be children of God, gives us a free pass through adversity. Just because, hey, I'm a child of God, so not me. Look at Saul, a.k.a. Paul, right? You know, his name changes like in the 13th chapter of Acts. But he's on this road of Damascus, right? He's on this road, and all of a sudden, Jesus says to Saul at the time, he goes, why do you persecute my people? And all of a sudden, Saul's life changes. His name is Paul now. And now he's a soldier of God. Now before, life was, I won't say easy, but he had it pretty good. But the thing is, once he became a soldier of God, he was on the front lines. And adversity was like staring him dead in the face. He was facing adversities there. He was facing adversities that he probably never would have seen. But the thing about it is, when you're on the front lines, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you're battling for him, and you're in a fight of fights, and you're hooking and jabbing, poking and stabbing, there's a target that gets drawn on you. Hey, if you're sitting back, kind of like just taking it easy, yeah, I got a Bible. Don't push me. I'm here. Then Satan's like saying, I don't have to worry about you. But when you're in the fight of fights, and you're representing him, you're going to have adversity. Adversity that you would have never dreamed of. Whatever you're going through, secondly, whatever you're going through, God has a plan to use it for his glory. Amen? You look at those men and women of old, the adversities that they went through. God allows adversity in our lives because he wants to strengthen our character. He's not concerned about our comfort, hello. He's concerned about your character. He needs you. He wants you to be strong. The adversity that I've spoke about this before, when we were ministering up in Fairbanks, with my health, with my back, and just being on the front row, I was laying on the seat. I have witnesses here. they saw me. I come and I just because I wanted to be with my people. I wanted to worship my God, and I wanted to show people that
my back, regardless of the pain that I am in, I am going to be in the house. This one thing kept on running, going through my mind because I was the youth pastor. I'm like, how can I serve our Heavenly Father if I'm like this? People started coming by my house. People that never came by my house before. I didn't even know they knew where I lived. They came by and said, hey, JR, how you doing? Man, you don't look too good. But I tell you what, that's encouraging, man. I see you're all broke up, and yet you come and worship with us on Sunday morning? How encouraging that is. One person even said, you're an inspiration. When the senior high kids came by and seen me, those that were there, past and present, they come by my house and like, what kind of meds are you on? I was on some serious pain meds. And sometimes I wasn't thinking just right anyway. That's one of those things where I guess you would have to have been there. Listen, the troubled time that you are going through, people, both Christian and non-Christians are watching you. They want to see if you're going to lean on Jesus Christ, if you're going to praise Him. In the midst of whatever adversity you're going through, they're going to say, okay, let's see how you act now. I know that you're in a world of turmoil. I know your life has been flipped upside down. Are you still singing, amen? Are you saying, amen? Because that's what they want to hear, right? So here it is, kind of like wrapped up in a nutshell when we look at Romans 28. And Romans 28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Let me say that one more time. And we know that for those who love God, all things, it doesn't say some things. It says all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. He has a purpose for you. You and you and me. Point number three, this final point here that I want to speak to. Whatever you're going through, God will not let you face it alone. Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God promised that He'll always be with us through any and every type of adversity. It doesn't matter how little or how big it is. He's there. Psalm 94:12 reads like this. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble, into a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake His people. He will not abandon His heritage. His heritage. You are His heritage. Just a reminder. You are His heritage. And He's like, I'm not going to abandon you. How's that song go?
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. We need to trust in Him, that He'll never abandon us. God is so interested in you. God is so in love with you. He could never let you down. It's just not in His DNA. How many of you parents that are here could ever let your kid down? Several years ago, I was rushing to get to an appointment. But along the side of the road, I saw a vehicle that looked like my son-in-law's vehicle. And lo and behold, it was. And as I came closer, I saw, you know, the hood's up and smoke is coming all out of the top of it. They've used two fire extinguishers to calm the burnt up engine that was underneath the hood. And I know my son-in-law, he's kind of, I can do it myself, self-made man. And I know that if I pull over, he's just going to look at me and say, yeah, I got it, boss. I got it. And granted, I am not a mechanic. The best thing I can do for a mechanic is hold a flashlight and stay out of their way. But I'm just, anymore now. I used to be able to change the oil, but change a couple things. But anymore, and my son-in-law, he knows it, you know. So what I didn't see, what I didn't notice at first was that my daughter and my grandchildren were right behind him. And now the rest of my grandchildren are sharp, just like their oldest brother, their sibling Xavier, who notices every car. You know, he notices every car of the people that we know, that we run with there in Fairbanks and even now. And he'll say, oh, well, that's a Ford, da-da-da, da-da-da. I'm like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, you can tell by the headlights. And, you know, I'm like, okay. And people that can do that, good on you, right? But he knows every vehicle. He knows every car. He recognizes them. And I can't help but think that the first thing that popped into the mind of my grandchildren was that there goes Popo. He's just driving by. I had to turn around. Well, there he goes. He just left us in trouble. During a time of adversity, we're on the side of the road. Doesn't he care that we're stuck here? The engine is blown out of the vehicle? But now, because I turned around and came back to them, in their minds, they're like, oh, Popo, it doesn't matter what's going on. He'll turn around and come get me. He'll come for me. My Popo, he's not going to leave me hanging. Our Heavenly Popo, our Heavenly Father, He loves you. You get that? He loves you. And just like He was there for Joshua, He's here for you too. Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never desert you. It says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I never will leave you nor forsake you. And obviously right there at that point, so often people will just take one portion of the text and pull it out of context. And I just want to leave it in that context. And in this context, he's talking about something material. Father, we'll take care of all your needs, all your material needs. And then we look at verse 8 there. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? So, again, the same God that was there for Joshua, the same God that was there for Paul, is the same God that is here for JR, for you and you and you and you. That same God still reigns today. As we learn the lessons of adversity, we understand that it's necessary in our lives. We really can't have maturity in our Christian lives without some adversity. Some of us, even those who may be more mature Christians, face sometimes nearly cracks under adversity. But we must always remember that God has not abandoned us in the course of our troubles. Us young Christians are looking, and I am not talking about age, physical age. I'm talking about maturity, spiritual maturity. Us baby Christians. There are baby Christians that are looking at you older Christians, children of God, and saying, how did you get through that? Some kids are in school, they're like, I don't know how I can get this. People are calling me names, and you're like, oh, that, you know, as an adult, you know, you kind of forget that you were there too one time, and you're like, oh, you can get through that. You can. I did it, and so can you. And so we need to be examples to those Christians who are maturing. He has you. I think most of us are familiar with that song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. If he has the whole world in his hands, he has you in his hands too. It was said that God does not offer us a way out of testing in life. He offers us a way through them. And that makes a difference. Adversity teaches us many things about God and about what he wants to do in our lives. I can't get this show anymore, but living here, but I used to listen to the Moody Church Hour. If anybody knows how I can get in contact with that, I used to listen to it all the time up north. But Erwin Lutzer, and he says this about adversity. He says, God often puts us in situations that are too much for us so that we can learn that no situation is too much for him. We don't get to choose the level of adversity, because if we do, we're never going to make it hard enough. We're always going to make sure that that's right, it's about me, that I can always go overcome, right? I'm not going to set something too high. I want to meet that goal. I want to succeed on my own power. But Father says, no, I'm going to put you through something hard. I'm going to put you through something hard, young warrior, that you will have to lean on me. What I and many of you have come to know is adversity is that God is always going to be there, and he's always faithful to us. We are not sufficient enough to overcome these things on our own. This is called a hymnal, all right? They're songs of old with a message in them. Not to say that the songs today don't have a message, but this right here, You can live off the words off of this right here. I'm just telling you. If there's one there, if you want to, page 240. And it says that this song it says Jesus is all the world to me is the name of the song. It says it's written by Will L. Thompson. It says Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, and all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend, my trials soar. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, gold and grain. Sunshine and rain, harvesting grain, he's my friend. Verse 4, Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life. Eternal joy, he's my friend. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I know it's a verse that you're familiar with. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Praise team. To be honest, to be honest, why would you not be honest? I don't want adversity to come into my life, nor do I want adversity to come in your life. I really don't. The bizarre thing is, as I mature, as you mature, I understand that God allows adversity to come into my life. And it's not always because I've sinned. We're going to face adversity. Who am I kidding? I'm going through adversity right now. And maybe you are too. God, he has a plan for us. Better than the plans that we could ever think of. He's with us everywhere we go. It seems like it's so really easy to recognize him when we're on the mountaintops. But he's with us in the valley lows. In my office, because of the adversity that I've been going through, I've had scripture on my wall, and even in the resource room in the back, I wrote this out, and it's kind of like a little drywall board there. And Karen and I, we share that board, and we just write thoughts that come up, and we pray over those things. And so I want to leave you with this quote. It's by Brittany Moses. You have to stop thinking you'll be stuck in your situation forever. We feel like our heart will never heal or will never get out of this impossible struggle. Don't confuse a season for a lifetime. Even your trials have an expiration date. When you grow Life will change. Things will work out. Heavenly Father, this morning we know that in you, things are going to work out. Why? Because you knew that, you know, nothing catches you by surprise. You knew what was going to happen. And what's so comforting is that you know how it's going to end. And through these trials, these adversities, it grows us, it strengthens us, it encourages us to lean in and closer into your welcoming arms. Father, for those who are here this morning, who are going through some type of adversity, I pray that they would just cling to you and that they would know you. Know that you're there. In your name I pray. Amen.